Tonight we start a new chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Chof Hei. We'll see how many shiurim it'll take to cover it. I would estimate that we'll spend about two or three shiurim on this chapter on Likutei Moran, which means it's relatively short in comparison. In this chapter, Rabbi Nizal is going to mention a few very important concepts that a person has to know in Yiddishkeit, Bichlau, and especially a Baal Tshuva. Rabbi Nizal is going to address some of the things that a person experiences and why they experience it, and how to deal with it. We said that this chapter, together with the chapters in front of it and in back of it, is part of a grouping that's called Savei Devei Atuna. That this was a part of a debate that took place between one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and the 70 wise men of Athens. He had a confrontation with them in which they debated certain very deep concepts. And Rabbi Nizal, as do some of the other Meforshim, they expound and explain some of the depth behind what seems on the surface to be riddles, cute riddles. Rabbi Nizal goes very deep into showing what they were really talking about, what the debates were really about. So first we begin with the presentation between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and them. Omrulei, the Gemara says, this Gemara is presented in Bechoros. They said to him, the 70 wise men of Athens said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Achvei lon mono deloi shavyo lechavlo. Show us an object that's not worth the damage that it causes. So the Gemara says, I see Budya, he brought a bed, Pashtuhu, and he spread it out. It was obviously some type of a folding bed. He opened it up, Volehavi Ayelatara, and because it was open, it couldn't get through the doorway. Omar Lahu, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said to them, Aisum Moro, Sosru. Bring a hatchet or an axe and chop out the doorway and part of the wall, and then you'll be able to get the bed through the opening. Hainu mono doloi shavyo lechavlo. This is an example of a keli that's not worth the damage that it causes. This is how it's presented in the Gemara. We have on the side here, it's listed as the Rashbam, it's really Rashi. This is a achvei lon mono doloi shavyo lechavlo. Har'enu kli she'enoi shove ha'hefsid shehu mafsid. Show us a vessel that's not worth the damage that it causes. Budya machzeles, a type of bed. Loy ayel betara shehu oroich v'roichav yoysem en ha'pesach. It was longer and wider than the entrance that they wanted to try to get it through.
You got to
tell them
to turn it on the side.
Aisu moro. So he said to them, bring a hatchet, v'sisru binyan ha-pesach v'ha-koisel ad she-yichnas, and chop out the entranceway and part of the wall until you'll get it to fit, until you'll get it to be able to go through. Now, as part of the introduction, Rabbi Nizal quotes another statement in the Gemara, a different Gemara, where the Gemara says, mishechorav beis hamikdosh, Botel Hashomir, the Noifes Tzufim, Va'amono. From the time that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we lost three outstanding items. One is the Shomir, which is a certain miracle worm that had the power to split the largest stones. They would just line it up on a stone, and because of the fact that they weren't allowed to use any metal in building the Beis Hamikdash is called Sukkas Sholoim, a sender of peace, and a sword, metal, represents milchama, machlokes. Therefore, Hashem's instructions to Shlomo HaMelech were not to use any metal in building the Beis HaMikdash. If so, how do you go about chopping those huge, tremendous stones that we see today, samples of in the Kosel that we have today? The answer is, the Gemara says, there was this miracle worm, the Shamir, which when they would line it up on a stone, it would move across it and cause the stone to split. When the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, this Shamir was no longer available. The second item is noifest sufim, which means a certain outstanding type of honey, a very sweet, special type of honey that came either from Har HaTzofim or a place called Sufia, the Gemara says. And the third item, amono, means people that have real, true faith in Hashem. These three items, from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, became extinct. Now Rabbeinu Zal begins a discussion, and the result of this discussion is going to be an explanation of these Gemaras. Kitzorich kol odom lohitzi es atzmoi mehamedame. Each and every single person has to see to it, to take themselves, to remove themselves from the medame. The word medame is going to be used often in this chapter in Likud Imran. Medame means imagination. Medame means fantasy land. Medame means the concept of a person chasing things which they think are good, which they think are optimum goals in life or examples of success, whereas in reality it's an imaginary success. It's an imaginary sweetness. It's a fantasy type of thing.
Illusion.
An illusion, in a sense. These are all definitions of this term medame, and you'll see how Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain this. So Rabbeinu Zal says a person has to see to it to remove themselves from the medame, v'la'alois el ha-sechel, and to rise to the level of true sechel, true intellect. U'kishenimshach achra medame, when a person finds themselves drawn after the medame, ze bechinas shriru slav. This is a term that's used in the Chumash, where the Torah talks about a person following their shriru slave, meaning whatever the heart sees and it lusts for. In other words, not what a person really thinks carefully. Is this candy bar really good for me? Is it really healthy? Is it really going to benefit me? But it's just that it's designed, it's in a wrapper with the aluminum, with the cellophane and the noise that it makes and the glow around it, etc. And everything in the advertisements, everything about it that gives it this illusionary type of good, makes it seem so special. That's called shriru slave. The term shriru slave means the look of the heart, not the look of the mind in terms of intellect, but rather the look of the heart. Shehu hoylech achar hamedame shebelev, whereby the person follows their heart's desires and illusions. Ukshayotze mishriru salev, and when the person is zeche to get out of that, to leave this category of shriru salev, umeshaber liboy ho'even, and the person breaks their heart of stone. We know that in the Torah, it uses many adjectives to describe the heart, some speaking favorably, some speaking about the positive at heart, some about the negative. For example, there's a pasuk lev chacham liyaminoi, lev ksil lismoiloi, that an intelligent person favors the right side of his heart, in which the Yetzer Tov resides, and a fool favors the left side. We see the lave being used to refer to chachma or ksilus. Here also, we find a term lave ho'even, heart of stone, used in the Torah as a negative type term, a person who's unfeeling, insensitive, or the wrong type of sensitivity, versus lave busur, a heart of flesh, which represents the soft,
Breslov
is a combination of the two words lev bosor, which refers to a soft-heartedness, sensitiveness, a heart that's filled with sechel dikdusha, with Torah, with tefillah, shivchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem, a good-heartedness. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, when a person is zeche to leave the shriru salev and he breaks the heart of stone, ze bechinas shamir. This represents this concept of this worm which would split stone. Sha'al yodoi nichna ho'even. This worm was able to be machnia the stone. Ve'einoi hoylech achar taivois hamedumiois. And the person no longer follows these imaginary desires. Ve'hoylech achar asechel. But rather the person follows the true sechel, what really makes sense to go after. Not what seems sweet or good, but rather what really is good, al pi sechel. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'chol zman shelo yichotzi sichloi el apoyel, as long as a person's intellect is only in their mind, and they haven't actually used their sechel to do things with it, to make things happen with sechel, shelo yishtamesh b'sechlo yadayim, and the person hasn't yet used their sechel to produce positive things, oz etzloy hasechel b'koyach, then that person's sechel is considered to be only in theory. It's there, but it's there in a very weak form. It's like in a state of pregnancy. It hasn't come forth yet. It's not really active yet. Afal pi shekvar shovar hamadame, even though this person has already broken the illusionary powers and this imaginative power, still oz niskoimen tchuna sichloi. It's only when the person begins to use the seichel, to be mishtamish with it, to do things, that's when the seichel begins to take form. Ki kishze kom ze noifel. I'm sorry, this is still talking about before he's done things. We said when the person was zeichel to break the koyach hamedame, this illusionary power, that's when the seichel begins to develop. It begins to take form. Ki kishze kom ze noifel. Because we have a rule that kedusha and tuma are always represented by the two sides of a seesaw. When one goes down, the other one automatically is going up. So when a person succeeded in breaking the medame, automatically the sechel has risen. But avol hasechel adayin bekoyach. But the sechel is still only in theory. It's in a developmental state, in an embryonic state. But when a person goes the second step, and they use this sechel to actually think with it, to think deeply, and to think about what to do and what not to do, and they start going along that path, azai hasechel bepoyal. Then the sechel is starting to produce. It's starting to really be active. V'zeh b'chinas noifes tzufim. This is the concept of this sweet honey, this dripping honey that the Gemara mentioned. B'chinas noifes titoifno sifsoy sayich. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it says, your lips drip forth with sweet honey. Shohoitzi misikus sichloi mikoyach el apoyal. This is talking about where a person has brought forth the sweetness of their brain in action. They've translated into a certain type of action. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh sifsoy sayich, and this is why specifically the lips are mentioned, hu bechinas moitzi mikoyach el apoyal, shehu bechinas hadibur. That's one of the best examples, and one of the first examples, of a person taking what's in the brain and turning it into something ma'asis, turning it into something action, producing with it. Because the pasuk says, mipiv das usvuna. You get a person who has the smartest brain or the dumbest brain, until they open their mouth, we don't know. No matter what smarts the person has hidden away in their brain, nobody else is aware of it, nobody else has what to do with it, etc. It's only when a person opens their mouth, the pasuk says, psach picho v'yo'iru dvorecho. Open your mouth and let your words give off light. The light of the brain is given out from the body through the mouth, usually. That's the main vessel from which the sechel of a person comes forth. This is why the Rambam Zal is so makbid, that a Jew isn't allowed to let something out of their mouth until they first chewed it through in their brain at least four times before letting it go out of their mouth, because the mouth is the pipeline to the brain. That's how people are going to get to take a peek at what's inside your brain. So Rabbi Nizal says that when the Gemara refers to this concept of the lips dripping with honey, that's already phase two of the intellect. Step one was breaking the medame and turning on the sechel. Step two is taking the sechel and moving it out of the brain, coming forth from the mouth, already becoming ma'asi in the form of dibur. Now Rabbi Nizal continues, the achar kach, then we go to step three. When a person is zeche to advance their brain to such an extent where they're zeche to achieve an understanding of whatever the human mind is capable of understanding, Oz sichloi shuv sechel hanikne. Then that person's mind, that person's sechel, receives the title of sechel hanikne. We'll see soon exactly what that means. Kamo shekosu hamachakrim, as the scientists discuss this concept of a sechel hanikne. Sheyesh sechel bekoyach, v'sechel hapoyal, v'sechel hanikne. There are these three levels. There's when something is in theory, it's only in the person's mind. When a person starts developing their intellect,
potential,
a person starts sorting out what's fantasy and imagination versus what's real, but doing it only in their brain. Then there's a phase two, where a person is able to use that sechel to start translating it into dibur and being able to perform actions with it. And then there's a phase three where a person progresses and advances their sechel to such a point where they achieve an understanding of everything that there is to understand. Now, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Adam itself symbolizes this process. The Aleph always represents chokhmah, sechel, what's in the brain. There's a pasuk va'alefcha chokhmah, I will teach you. The word aleph means to teach. So va'alefcha chokhmah, chokhmah is sechel in the brain. The dalid of Adam stands for dibur, and the mem stands for maisa. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there's no way in the world that a human being is able to bring anything into action without going through these three phases, these three steps. It has to first originate in the mind, then it has to go through dibur, then through maisa. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, sometimes a person would say, what do you mean? I never said I'm going to do this thing at all. I thought of it and then I did it. Where was the dibur? The Zohar HaKadosh says there are some times that the dibur takes place in such a fine way that the person themselves doesn't even realize that they're saying something. And yet somehow their lips are moving something. There's some form of dibur that's taking place in order to cause a maisa to happen. Here Rabbeinu Zal is sort of talking about the same concept, a concept of koyach, poyal, and nikne, and he's going to explain it much more as we go on. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'ikar kiyumay shalodom la'achar nisosoy einoy elo sechel nikne." The main thing that remains of a person after the person passes away is the sechel hanikne. That's what remains from the person after death. This corresponds to the third item mentioned in the Mishnah, when it said that from the time that the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, three things were lacking. The third item was Amono, people with true faith. Rabbeinu Zal says, Amono corresponds to Sechel Hanikne. Ki Amono loshen kiyum hadovor. Because Amono, another definition for the word amono means faith, trustworthiness. The word amono also means certified. A certified check means a check that I can trust, that I can believe in. I can have faith in it much more so than a personal check, that kind of concept. So Rabbeinu Zal says, ki amono loshen kiyum hadovor. The term amono is in a concept of being mekayim the item. Ki sechel hanikne hu kiyum shel ha'odom lachar moisoi. Because this third level of the sechel called sechel hanikne is the main kiyum. It's the imprint that's left of the person, what remains of the person after the person has left, after the person has physically passed away. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, v'sechel hanikne nikro ma she'odom yodea harbei dvorim biyedia achas. This term, sechel hanikne, refers to the power of a person to understand many things in one yediyah, that with one thought he encompasses a whole slew of concepts. Ki koidem tzorech leida harbe hagdomois koidem sheyeda ezadovor. Because whatever type of limud a person is getting into learning, let's say a person wants to learn about health or other items, usually when a person is first beginning to learn about it, it requires a whole series of hakdomos, introduction. It requires hours, spending hours to introduce the person to certain terms, to certain ideas and concepts, before you can actually begin to teach them the science that you want to teach them, the limud that you want to teach them. V'acharkach kishem masigis hadovor. But afterwards, once a person went through the introductions, and they went ahead and learned the actual limud that we're talking about, after that, mashlech hakdamoisav, the person can drop the introductions, v'yodeya sadofar b'yediachas, and he knows the item in a very concise, he understands it in a very concise way. Once a person has learned the concepts real well, then it doesn't take him an hour to understand it or to explain it. He's able to give it over to somebody else who knows it well in one sentence to present the whole thought, the whole concept. That's the sinyan of Sechel HaMikneh. It's a concept of a power to summarize, where a person understands something so well that they can take a whole volume of thoughts and summarize it and put it in a concise way into one thought, one line, that's koilo the whole thing, which is something that a person could only do once they really understand it very thoroughly. Now Rabbein Azal said, okay, so now he explained the three phases of Seichel and the three levels, etc. And he mentioned along the way how they correspond to the three items mentioned in that Mishnah. The Shamir, referring to the breaking of the Evan, the breaking of the Leif Evan, starting with Seichel, and the Neufes Tzufim, the Dibur, Neufes Titev Nesif Sosayach, and the third item being the Seichel HaNikneh. Now Rabbein Azal says, Ve'ikr Hamayon HaChochmo Min HaMikdosh Yetzei. We know that the main center of knowledge for the world was the Beis HaMikdosh. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soiro Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The center of the wisest gathering of Jews, the Lishka Sagozis, the Sanhedrin, was in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's where the highest level of thought came forth. Ki Shom Hoyum Rivim HaKorbonos. Rabbein Azal says, note, what was one of the main things they did in the Beis HaMikdosh? They offered sacrifices. They took behemos and they slaughtered them. Rabbein Azal says, Shehem ha-behemos. This means korbonos came from behemos, animals, the koyach ha-dimyon, which are synonymous with the power of imagination, fantasy. Kemoi shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Zivche elikim ruach nishboro. Zivchei Elokim, the sacrifices of Hashem are Ruach Nishboro, a broken spirit. Ruach here referring to this Ruach HaMedame, referring to the Ruach Shtus inside the person. The fantasy, the ability to fantasize and imagine things that aren't real. Sheshviras HaDimyoin Heim Akrobonos. This concept of taking animals and slaughtering them represents a concept of slaughtering the imagination, in other words, the fantasy land. Ubishvil ze omru chazal, and it's for this reason that the Gemara says, kishechorav beis hamikdosh, when the beis hamikdosh was destroyed, and there were no longer korbonos being brought, which means people were not doing away with their koyach hamedame. Therefore, botal hashomir v'noifes tzufim v'anshi amono. In other words, therefore, these three items became weakened, because we started off by saying that in order to start this process, you have to slaughter the medame. You have to do away with this wrong type of fantasizing, wrong type of letting a person's imagination run wild, or chasing his own tail. In other words, chasing after things that aren't really worth chasing after in this world. Ukeshi bone beis hamikdosh, and in the future when Hashem is going to rebuild the beis hamikdosh, Oz Yiskayim Umayon mi beis hamikdosh yetzei. Then once again they will flow forth this Mayon HaChochma from the Beis HaMikdosh, which means the Sechel of the Jewish people and of the world will have a tikkun. As the Pasuk says, Kimolo ha'oretz deyas Hashem kamayim layam mechasim. That when Mashiach will come, the world will be filled with das. And the Gemara says, Kol mi sheyesh bo deyo keilu nivne beis hamikdash biyomov. That a person who has true das, for that person it's considered as if the Beis HaMikdash were already built in his time. Because the Beis HaMikdash is synonymous with tikkun hamoyach, tikkun ha-sechel, tikkun ha-das.
Say stories that hear about the Gaonim that were able to answer, let's say, 10 different questions with one answer. Would that be an example of the Sechel HaNikneh?
100%. This Sechel HaNikneh means where the person's brain is so advanced that he's not working like a child. And as again, a child, you give him a mathematical problem, they'll have, how do you add 2 plus 2? Well, first you take the 2 and you put it on top of here, and then you... That whole concept of the smaller the seichel, the more steps it takes to go through it. And the higher the seichel, the more speedy and less, the more concise. Just like we say in the Beis Hamikdash, a concept of lamala min hamokoyim, a concept of zero space, you know, going above the whole concept of tzimtzum. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'day, you should know, shebechol oylam v'oylam, uvechol madrego madrego, yeshom dimyoynoi seilu. This koyach hamedame, this fantasy land, this illusionary power, this power of the satan, doesn't exist once in a person's life. It's not the kind of thing that a person has to battle once and they win and they're finished and from there it's smooth sailing in the ocean of Sechel. Wrong. Rabbi Nizal says in each and every single world and on each and every single level there exists these dimyonos. There exists this power of the Soton, this illusionary power. V'heim heim ha-klipois ha-koidmin l'pri. And they represent the shell that surrounds the fruit, the peel, or the shell, as the waste matter that surrounds the fruit. V'soivivim es ha-kdusha, they surround the holiness. V'bechinas soviv rishoim yisalochun. As the Pasuk says, the rishoim surround the kedusha. They go around it. U'kishe'odom netak mimadrega l'madrega. And whenever a person rises and leaves one level and goes to the next level, oz tzorech loy leilech derech elu hadimyonos. Then on the new level that they've risen to, they have to battle against the dimyonos of that level. Each and every single level has its own section of dimyonos that the person has to go through and battle and overcome. Kedei lahagia el hakdusha. In order to get to the fruit, in order to get to the holiness on that level. And as soon as the person enters that new level, immediately the klipois that are on that level, those demyonois, they get turned on, they wake up, and they surround the person, and they try to drown him. You want to go up a level? Boom! They surround him and try to throw him not just down to where he was before, but throw him off the ladder completely. V'tzorech lahachnia oisom ulashaber oisom ulatahir oisay hamokoy meklipois. The person has to see to it to subdue the demyonois on that new level that he rose to, and to break the klipois, and to purify that place from klipois. The first thing he has to do is clean up jar. Pesach, the holiday of Pesach, represents the Jews going to a new level, leaving slavery, leaving garbage can, leaving Mitzrayim, and starting to become a nation. The first step is Pesach cleaning. The first step is rid the house from the chometz, the klipos, that which represents klipos at that time. In order that, we can eat matzah. Matzah represents asvosa. The Zohar Kodesh says that matzah is called medication. It's health food. Matzah is the symbol of health. And before you can have matzah, you have to first get rid of the chometz. First, tashbis usar mi botechem, and then the pasuk says, toichu matzois. So let's eat the matzah. This concept that on any time a Jew is going to a new level, he has to know that he's going to have to first encounter the klipos on that level, do battle against them, and it's only once he's defeated them and cleaned them out, then he's ready to take upon himself the kedusha from that new level that he rose to. And this is a rule that covers hundreds or thousands of items in Yiddishkeit, in Shulchan Aruch, in daily life of a Jew, etc., as we're going to see soon. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'dai, you should know, She'ein shnei b'nei odom shovin ze lo ze. No two people are alike, are equal. Ki kol ha'neshamois heim ze l'malo mize. Because all the neshamois of the Jewish people are pictured as symbolically on a ladder. Every single person has a rung on the ladder. No two people are on the same rung. There's no such possibility of two people being on the same level. V'zeh malbush lozeh. One person is considered to be a malbush to the other person. In other words, the person on a lower level is considered to be a malbush to the person on the upper level. U'pnimis shel tachtoin nase levush v'chitzoinius l'chitzoinius o'elyon. Rabbi Nizal here mentions a concept that's mentioned many times by the Arizal, by others, that on each level, We just, for example, we talk about human beings. Each person has a pneumius and a chitzonius, an inner portion and an outer portion, a more significant portion, the neshama, let's say, which we would call the pneumius, and the guf is the chitzonius, the outside, less significant, less holy, less important part. So the Arizal says, and Rabbeinu Zal mentions this here, that whenever we talk about a lower level being moved up to the upper level, the way that it happens is the pneumius of the one on level on the lower level rises up and becomes a levush to the chitzainius of the one on the upper level. Because the one on the lower level, his pneumius is lower, is less important than the chitzainius of the one on the upper level, as we'll see here. Rabbeinu Zal says, when a person wants to move up from whatever level they're on to reach a higher level, then what happens is the person on the level above them has to first vacate the premises. They have to first exit and leave. That person has to go up to the next level, up. Because it's impossible for two people to be on the same level. When the person on the upper level moves, it's only his pneumius that moves. V'hachitzonius nishar, his chitzonius remains in place. V'gam ho'odom shememadrega hatachtoino, and the person who's on the lower level who wants to move up, einoy netak v'yoyle ela hapnimius. Again, by him also, it's only his pnimius that moves. V'hapnimius shelatachtoin nase chitzonius lechitzonius ho'elyon. It's the pnimius of the one on the lower level that rises up to the next level and becomes a cover for the chitzonius of the one on the upper level. Because that one on the upper level, his pneumius has already exited. All that's there now is his chitzonius. This person's pneumius becomes a chitzon to that person's chitzonius, and then that person's chitzonius later slides into the level of pneumius, and everything gets re-straightened out, and then it keeps going on in that manner. Each time when one on a lower level wants to move, when it's time for him to move, when he starts moving, in order for him to move, the one on the upper level has to first vacate. The one on the upper level's pneumius leaves, and then on a lower level's pneumius moves up and becomes a levush to the chitzainius of the other one.
Does this intermediate state mean that until this is complete, in other words, when the bottom one's pneumius is acting as the chitzainius for the upper one, does it mean in a sense that they're both sharing the same level, in a sense?
Yes and no, because the other one's pneumius has already left.
Higher.
So it's not as if there are two people on right. The same level.
What happens if the person on the upper end doesn't go up?
Not possible. And that's going to be one of the amazing things that Rabbeinu Zal is going to stress here. This is part of the fact that the Jewish people, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazer, were all tied together. When one Jew moves, everybody moves.
Because when a person of Nachman,
yes,
we know that he said that he didn't remain on one level even for a few hours, for an hour.
Correct.
Kept on so that Nachman means that somebody who was above him kept on going up and up and up because of him.
Correct.
And not through his own merit.
Correct. What do you mean not that one not through his own merit? In a sense. In a sense, yes.
Say that Rabbi Nachman was the tzaddik ador. The answer is many dovot.
True. The answer is to him, kaviyachol. Who's the one above him? Hashem Himself, kaviyachol. And tzaddikim kaviyachol have this concept of this bond with Hashem Himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was called Ish Elokim, kaviyachol, the husband of the Shekhinah, kaviyachol.
But look, it wasn't always. just the Hashem above them. He was always on once on a lower madriga with many other people above
him. For sure.
So in other words, he had to pass other people.
Correct.
Ladder.
Correct.
So in other words, his aliyah meant that somebody else didn't go up.
He's asking an important question. Is it possible, does this mean that as people are moving, the people that are above them will always be moving also? Notice that a person never passes anybody in the line. I believe that that's not true. Exactly how that affects this is not explained here, but I believe there is definitely a concept of somebody passing somebody else's madrega, where at one point Reuven is miles ahead of Shimon, and Shimon picks up speed and is able to overtake Reuven and go way past him. Just as Rabbi Nazal described certain tzaddikim who he said he succeeded in passing their madrega. But that's not explained here. Here in this Torah, Rabbi Nazal is explaining a certain procedure. V'afal pi shekvar nishbar haklipo shebemadrego elyoino al yedei odomo elyoin. Even though you might want to ask, if we're talking about a person going up to a level where there was somebody already there on that level, when the person above got to his level, didn't he already fix up all the klipos on that level? Why are you telling me now that if I want to move up to the next level above me, I have to be prepared to deal with the klipos on that level? Hasn't the one above me already dealt with them and cleaned them out? Rabbi Nazal says, Afal Pikain, still, even though that person has dealt with it, Kishe Pnimiyos Shelho Elyoin, Netak Mishom, when the Pnimiyos of that person leaves there, Upnimiyos HaTachtoin, there's two different versions here, the Pnimiyos HaTachtoin, Chitzonis HaTachtoin, the way we're learning it, it's the Pnimiyos of the lower one. Oile goes up, Azai HaKlipo Choyzer V'neor, there was a change. The klipa feels the change, and the klipa goes for a second round. It tries again. It hasn't necessarily been killed, wiped out, just like by Yehoshua. The pasuk says, "Vayachlois Yehoshua samolek." It doesn't say he erased him, he wiped him out. It says he weakened him. When a person gets to a certain level, sometimes he's able to weaken the klipas enough to make a stand, to be able to remain on that level. But he hasn't necessarily done away with them completely. So the next person that's going to want to get to that level has to encounter them once again and deal with them once again. Because the klipa on that upper level only subdued itself against the person who was on that upper level's pnimius. But regarding the one who was on the lower level, even against his pnimius, the klipa on that upper level is strong enough to do battle against the pnimius of this new guy who wants to come to this territory. And therefore, this person has to once again encounter that klipa and do battle against it and subdue it. Now Rabbi Nazal says, "Upnimius v'chitzonius heim shnei mine avoidos." This terminology, pnimius and chitzonius, takes on a tangible form. Rabbi Nazal says it refers to two aspects of a Jew's serving Hashem. Avoida shel Torah utfila u'mitzvois heim pnimius. The avoid of a person learning or davening or performing mitzvahs like eating matzah or sukkah or lulav, whatever it is, those are all called the pnimius department. V'avoidas achila ushtia ushar tzorach yaguf, whereas the regular process of a person eating and sleeping and working, all of those items, the standard gashmius items, those are all called chitzonius. V'avoidas chitzonius. And based on what we explained earlier, the chitzonius of the one who's on the upper level, which means his sleeping or his eating and drinking, he may ira umeshubachas yoiser me avoidois pnimiois hainu toiro tfilo shel ha'odom ho'imed b'madrega tachtoina. The person on the upper level's gashmius is considered to shine more and give Hashem more nachas, it has more holiness to it, than the Torah and Tefillah and Mitzvot of the one on the lower level. ובשביל זה, and because of that, פנימיס התחתוין נעשה לבוש לחיצוניס ועליין. Because of that, when the פנימיס of the תחתוין rises up, it only becomes a לבוש to the חיצוניס of the עליין. That's how high, that's the difference in מדרגות. So that when the Gemara makes a statement that a person who zocha to join in a meal with a Talmud Chacham, it's as if they were nana miziv hashchina, we understand now. It means that if I'm part of his meal can be on a higher level than my tefillin, than my mitzvah of putting on tefillin. My mitzvah of tefillin, to me, is premius. To a tzaddik who's on a level above me, his chitzonios is considered to be a higher level of kedusha, and he's able to generate more nachas Hashem and more kedusha than a person on a level below him's pnimius. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "V'seh pirush." This with this we can understand a pasuk in Yirmiyah, where the pasuk says, "Kisei kovoid moroim merishoin." Rabbi Nizal explains, this is talking about that the final Beis HaMikdash is going to be much more special than the ones before it, the ones that preceded it. Kisei zebechinas pnimius. The word kisei refers to pnimius, loshen iskasio. Iskasio means that which is hidden. In other words, when we talk in Kiddush of a higher level, the higher a level something is on, the more hidden it is. Keser, the crown of Hashem, is called b'mufla mimcho al tidrosh u'b'mechusa mimcho al tachkor. That which is hidden is called pnimi. Kavoid zechitzoinius u'levush. The term kavoid refers to the outermost part of a person, the dress of the person. Kama Shikosav, as the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan kore lamane mechabdusa. Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to his clothing as his respect, his kavoid. So we see that kavoid refers to chitzonius. Moroim meirishoin hainu kishenisroimum vinesale mimadrego horishoino. When a person becomes elevated, meirishoin, from step one to the next step, v'oznase mipnimius chitzonius. What happens is the pnimius, the kisei, becomes kavoid. What was originally kisei, pnimi, becomes kavoid to the level above it. Bishvil ze mokoim migdoshenu. The pasuk finishes off by saying that in a person who wants to make that happen better be prepared to be mekadesh the mokoim. Tzorech lekadesh es hamokoim echodosh. In order to be able to do that, he's going to have to be prepared to purify that place brand new. Ki haklipois choizrim v'neyoirim. Because the klipois and that madrega, when they see a new guy coming, they're going to start up their whole thing again, and he has to be prepared to deal with them and to be machnia them once more. Now Rabbi Nizal says, how does one do this? How does one go about being machnia klipois? V'i'efshir lachnia haklipois hainu hadimyoinois v'hamachshovois v'hataivois v'habilbulim v'hamaniyois shebemadrega. It's impossible to be machnia the klipois. And now Rabbi Nizal gives us a few definitions for what klipois means. Klipois means the dimyoinois, all the foolishness and the fantasies. Or machshovois, all the silly thoughts. Or the taivois, the wrong types of desires. Or bilbulim, the confusion. Or the maniyois, the obstacles. All of these are included within this umbrella term called klipois. It's impossible for a person to get rid of them and to subdue them, elo al yedei gedulois haboirei, unless the person makes Hashem great. By making Hashem great, that's what allows us to be machnia, to destroy and completely wipe out all of these klipois. Kemuvo bekavonois shel hoydu Hashem kiru v'shmoi, as is brought in the writings of the Arizal, where he explains what a person is supposed to think about when they say hoydu in the morning in Shachris. Shezeh hamizmor niskan lahachnia haklipois shebi yitzira. The Arizal explains that this chapter of Tehillim is said, was established specifically in that location of the Tefillah of Shachris, in order to subdue the klipois of the Olam HaYetzira. Kinis oirim neged asio sheoila biyetzira. Because those klipois of the Olam HaYetzira start up their whole bit again when they see the Olam HaAsiyah trying to climb up, to move up to a new level. When they see part of Asiyah trying to move up into Yetzirah, the Klipos of Yetzirah start their battle again to try not to let Asiyah move in. And by mentioning the greatness of Hashem, by proclaiming and announcing the greatness of Hashem, nichnoim, the person is machnia, those klipos. Ayin shom, take a look in the Kisvei Arizal. Ki pnimius hayitzir, right. Let's just quote, the Arizal has a whole major discussion about it. We'll quote one paragraph which best summarizes what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to here. The Arizal says, "V'hine kavonas hoiduhu." What a person is supposed to keep in mind when they say hoidu is, "Kihine tchilo al yideim." First, to give an introduction. The Arizal shows how when a person davens shachris, the person actually travels through all the four different worlds. Kaviyochol, just as Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei has four letters, Kaviyochol Hashem created four worlds to correspond to the four letters of His name. The world that we generally exist in is called the Olam HaAsiyah, the world of action. The world of the angels, which is the next world above, is called the Olam HaYetzirah. The third world, which is the world of the throne of Hashem, is called the Olam HaBriyah. And the fourth world is called Olam HaAtzilus, Miloshen Eitzel. It's the closest thing to Hashem possible. These are the four worlds. These are mentioned in a pasuk. This isn't just hocus pocus Kabbalah. This is mentioned in a pasuk. The pasuk says, right? The Gemara says at the end of Perkei Avos, "Lo yibora kodesh kol ma shebora kodesh baruch hu baylamay lo yibora ela lechvoidoi shenemar kol hanikra bishmi ulechvoidi berosiv." Yitzartiv, Afasisiv. Everything that's within my name, that's under my name, Barosiv, Yitzartiv, Afasisiv. I created it, and I created it. Why the three times? This is referring to these different worlds. The Arizal explains how when a Jew wakes up in the morning, the tefillah of Shachris takes a person through these four worlds. The first section of Shachris, when a person starts from Moidani until Hoidu, approximately, actually until Baruch Shomar, is a person traveling through and fixing up everything that needs to be fixed in the Olam HaAsiyah. When a person gets to Baruch Shomar, and from Baruch Shomar through Yishtabach, a person is traveling through and fixing up everything that needs to be done in the Olam HaYetzirah. When a person, right after Baruch Hu, when a person goes from Baruch Hu till Shmoneh Esrei, that's called the Olam HaKisei, therefore we sit down during that part especially. A person is fixing up all the tikkunim in the Olam HaBriyah, and then the Shmoneh Esrei, when a person takes those three steps back, and then three steps forward, that represents, the three steps back represents exiting completely, total exit, from Briya Yetzir Asiyah, and the three steps forward represents entering into the Olam HaAtzilus, into the inner throne room of Hashem, Kaviyochol. That's one manner through which this is done, through tefillah. The Arizal shows also how certain actions, it's done b'dibur and b'maisa. When a person goes to the bathroom in the morning, and they wash Netilas Yodayim, the Negel Vaser, that represents b'maisa, the tikkun of the Olam HaAsiyah. When a person puts on a talis, a man puts on a talis, that represents the tikkun for the Olam HaYetzirah. And the Arizal shows this through psukim. Choyne Malach Hashem Soviv Lireyov, the Arizal says that refers, this Malach Hashem Soviv refers to the talis in which the person is nis'atev. That's the tikkun for the Olam HaMalochim. And then the Arizal goes on to show the third item and fourth item. I don't recall it offhand this moment. Again, two additional items that the person does b'maisa that affect tikkunim for the Olam HaBriyah and Atzilus. Now the Arizal says, "Kihine tchilo al yedei maisa talis gotel v'talis koton." First, by a man putting on a talis koton and a talis gotel, oz tiknues haklipois shel Olam HaYetzirah. The person has succeeded in fixing up the klipois of the Olam HaYetzirah. V'silakno oisam, and he removed them. V'hine ma she'osinu oz hu shelo yikablu v'yoichsu haklipois v'yitzira b'yitzira. That helps to see to it that the klipois of the Olam HaYetzira should not be able to do any damage to the Olam HaYetzira, period. Ach ato, however, now, at this point in the tefillah, when a person has finished saying korbonois, when it's time, shegimel rishonois, the asiyah, heim hanas nchitzonios, el gimel tachtonois, the yitzira, where now it's time for the three upper spheres of the Olam HaAsiyah, Chochma Bina Da'as of Asiyah, to move up and become Olavush for Netzach Hoyd Yisoid of the Olam HaYetzirah, Ukvar Yodato, and you already know, Ki Vadai Chitzonius HaYetzirah Godol Mipnimius HaAsiyah. The Chitzonius of Yetzirah, in other words, the Netzach Hoyd Yisoid of Yetzirah is still a much higher level than the Chochma Bina Da'as of Asiyah. V'al Kein, and therefore, V'im Kein, Ato Shechitzonius HaYetzirah Min HaAsiyahu. Now that a change has been effected, where now the Chitzonius, a new Chitzonius, has been given to the Olam HaYetzirah, which came from the Olam HaAsiyah that moved up, the three upper spheres of Olam HaAsiyah that moved up to this new level, Onu Yireim were afraid shelo yachzaru haklipois shel gimel tachtonos the yitzira lesachis sham. We're afraid that the klipois of Netzach Hoyd Yisoid of Yitzira shouldn't start up again, because they see it's not their old, it's not that old guy that defeated them. It's a new kid on the block. New kid on the block. We can start up with him. We're not afraid. So because of the fact that we're afraid that that's going to start up again, it's for this reason that the Chachomim instituted that paragraph over there, they inserted that paragraph in this transition state between Asiyah and Yetzirah. Pirish, when we say, Hoidu Lashem, Kiru Vishmoi, who are we addressing? Hoidu Lashem means give praise to Hashem, call out His name. Who should give praise to Hashem? Pirush, the Arizal explains, Atem Malochim Kedoshim, Vekitois Hakdoshim, you angels, we're in the Olam HaYetzira now, the world of the angels, you angels proclaim the greatness of Hashem, Kiru Vishmoy Shlashim Yisborach, Vohoidiu Aliloisov Bo'amin, and inform the nations of Hashem's greatness. Who are these nations, these Amim? Sheheim HaKlipois. This refers to those Klipois. By doing this, when a person proclaims the greatness of Hashem, that's what instills fear, the fear of Hashem in these klipos. When a person announces the fear of the greatness of Hashem, that's the most powerful, explosive weapon to subdue these klipos. So that they should not grab hold of and cause any damage to the new kid, in other words, to the new resident in the Gimel Tachtoinos of Yetzirah, which is the Gimel Elyonos of Asiyah that moved up. Ukemat kol hamizmor hazeh, v'chol haseder hazeh ad borach shomar, kuloi medaber al zeh. And if you look through Haidu, and you look through Mizmor Shir Chanukas, and afterwards we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloich, and Al Matzeich Beneginois, all of that is basically a discussion about the greatness of Hashem. Shiakiru ho'amim v'hagoyim v'loikehem gidulosa yisborach. That they should come to recognize the greatness of Hashem. V'loyoichzu begimel tachtoino is the yitzira. And they should not try to grab hold of and do any damage to the new item in the gimel tachtoino of yitzira. Omnom. Hatikun toloi sheloyale haklipois gam hein viichlalu zuba zula malo kemoi bigdusho voz yistalku haklipois. However, the Arizal explains this tikun is dependent on this tikun of these worlds moving is dependent on the fact that these klipois shouldn't also go up. When things are moving up, the klipois shouldn't move up along with them and be nichlal as the kedusha, but rather to cause a histalkus of the klipois. This is how the Arizal explains this, related to the Hoidu that we say 7 days a week in Shachris. Rav Nosson Zalman Likutei Halachos says, we'll take it a step further. The 6 days of the week versus Shabbos. the 6 days of the week, represent Asiya. Sheshes Yomim Taseh Melachtecha. Taseh Melachtecha. The 6 days of the week represent Olam Asiya. Shabbos, new ball game, completely new world. Completely new world. Therefore, in order to make the transition from 6 days of the week to Shabbos, the most important tefillah is again a hoidu l'Hashem ki toiv ki leilam chazdoi. This that we have in Nusach Sfar, that we say that hoidu, which is again declaring the greatness of Hashem. And in fact, the whole Friday night davening, Rav Nosson Zal shows, and the Arizal says, if you look at the whole Friday night davening, all of those mizmoirim, lechunaranano, shiru l'Hashem, Hashem molch togel oretz, all of those are only speaking about the greatness of Hashem. It's declaration of the greatness of Hashem. Why? Because we know that whenever we try to move up to a new level, there is this concept of a potential, a possibility of chas v'shalom, a ra on that level trying to harm the person. The way that the person forms this protective shield around themselves to ensure that the klipos of that upper level should not be able to do harm is by declaring gedulosoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rabbeinu Zal calls it here. In the Torah later on, Rabbeinu Zal is going to give another example. Let's just finish these two lines. Back into the Likud Emran, ki pnimius hayitzira oile lebriya, because in order, again, in order for this to take place, in order for Asiya to move up to Yitzira, what has to happen first is that the pnimius of Yitzira has to move up, and it moves up to the Olam HaBriya, upnimius Asiya oile umaldish lechitzonius Yitzira, ayin shon. And the pnimius of the Olam HaAsiya can then move up and become a malbush for the chitzonius of the Olam HaYitzira. Some of this could be very difficult or very confusing. We tried to simplify it as much as possible for our level. If a person doesn't understand the Kabbalistic terms, at least lemaisa, you understood what we're talking about here in terms of practical application for a person. This is the beginning. Rabbeinu Zal, in the next section, is going to discuss how one does, when we talk about proclaiming the greatness of Hashem, lemaisa, how does one do that? We gave some examples of saying certain paragraphs. Rabbeinu Zal is going to give an example of a specific mitzvah that a Jew does to make this happen.